الحمد لله وكفى سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هل ينظرون الا ان ياتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم and there with هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله and they are waiting for nothing except that Allah Ta'ala comes في ظلل من الغمام in canopies of cloud والملائكة along with the angels وخذ الأمر and the matter is closed. This ayah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning those who do not bring iman and they keep on asking for signs upon signs. And Allah Ta'ala says that they are waiting for nothing. They will not bring iman until they see Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala themselves. That is why Allah Ta'ala says, Hal yanzuruna illa, they're not waiting for anything except ayyatiyahumu Allah fi dhulalin min al-ghamami. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to them through the clouds and they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then they will bring iman. So this is how strong they are in not accepting the iman. That they want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And iman by its definition is belief in the unseen. If everybody would see Allah, then everybody would believe. Then there will not be any unbelievers. There will only be believers. So there's a question, and that question arises in the mind. How can you believe in something you don't see? And the answer is that there are many, many things that we don't see, but we believe in them. Right? Do you all believe that you have a heart inside of your body? Yes, we all believe. Right? There is no reason. None of us is going to say that we don't have a heart. Everybody believes, even though he does not see it. And the only reason why we believe is because we know through certain reasoning, we know that the heart is present. In the same way, there are certain countries that we have never ever traveled to. But we all believe that these countries are there, right? And so I mentioned a few countries. One of them is Chad. So I picked those countries I'm pretty sure none of us has ever gone to, right? Chad, Venezuela, right? These countries. Has anyone ever been to these countries? Huh? No one of us has ever been to Venezuela, right? I didn't write Brazil, by the way, because I was thinking some of them might have gone to actually Brazil. So although we haven't seen Chad and Venezuela, but we believe, we all are 100% sure that these countries exist. They are there and they are on the map of the world. So there are certain things that you don't see but you believe. In the same way, you don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you see the creation that Allah has created. And you are bound to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the creator. In fact, you are bound to humble yourself in front of this Lord who has created such a big empire. It's unbelievable to understand how big this universe is. So the thing is that those people who do not believe in Allah and who are waiting for signs, they will not believe until and unless Allah Ta'ala says that those who do not have iman, who are unbelievers, they will not believe. Till Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala himself shows up and shows himself to them. So seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only happen in the akhirah. It will not happen in this world. So seeing Allah is not a way of increasing the iman. The iman of the believer increases with other things. And the Prophet ﷺ has told us that iman increases with few things, right? And the first thing is by safeguarding the eyes. When a person safeguards his eyes, does not look at things that he is not supposed to look, then the iman increases. The Prophet ﷺ has said that looking at the non-mahram women is an arrow of the shaitan. And the one who controls himself and does not look at women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives such an iman to that person that the sweetness of that iman he feels in his heart. So seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not possible. Although if you see, then the iman will increase 100-fold. But seeing is not possible. There are other ways of increasing the iman. And the first thing among them is, and the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned many, many things. I've mentioned only four here. And maybe I'll go on to a fifth one also, if we have time. But the first one is safeguarding the eyes. The one whose eyes are in control, he does not look at non-mahram, the iman increases in heart. And the one whose eyes are not in control, the iman decreases. How do you find that the person's iman has decreased? How do you know that the iman has gone down? When the iman goes down, then you don't want to do good deeds. Because now belief has gone down, now you don't want to do obedience, you don't want to worship, you don't feel like worshipping. You're sluggish in your worship. And the reason for all this sluggishness is the loss of iman. So when the iman is at its height, how do you find out that iman is at its height? The way you find it out is that you are very, very strong in your worship. And you're waking up at tahajjud. And you're doing the work of deen. And you're reading the Quran. And you're very, very strict about the Sharia and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the pious scholars, he told his chef, his teacher, that although I learned Islam and I became a scholar, but I also have a business. And sometimes, and he was from Pakistan, and he had a business in China, and he had to visit, he had to go to China. So he went to China, and after his visit, he came back, and he met with his chef. And he told his chef, and because he was a scholar, he knew all these things, that iman increases with the control of the eyes, and iman decreases when you don't control these eyes. So when he came back from China, he said that, Sheikh, I went to China and I had a meeting with the director of the company that I was supposed to make a deal with. And I didn't know that that director was actually a woman. So I had to have a four-hour meeting with this woman. And he said, Sheikh, I can swear upon Allah that in those 4 hours I talked to this lady. Not even once I looked at that lady for 4 hours while I was in a meeting with this woman. So those who realize that this looking at the woman, looking at non-mahram women is going to decrease my iman, they will do their utmost to not look at non-mahram women. So controlling the eyes increases the iman and not controlling the eyes decreases the iman. And when the iman has decreased, then amal also go down. Amal or the deeds and the acts of worship, they become sluggish. The second way of increasing the iman is increasing the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet ﷺ has said, the example of the one who remembers Allah and the example of the one who does not remember Allah. The example of the one who remembers Allah is the example of the person who is living. The example of the person who does not remember Allah is the example of the person who is dead. Now it does not mean that the one who does not remember Allah is actually dead, right? You have seen many people who don't remember Allah, they don't die, right? Sometimes we also do not remember Allah, but we don't die. Then what does the Prophet ﷺ mean? That the one who remembers Allah, he is living. And the one who does not remember in Allah, he is dead. It means that his heart is living or his heart is dead. His iman is alive or his iman is dead. So the one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his iman is full of strength, is in a state of living. And the one who does not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the iman becomes close to dead and sometimes even dead. That is why the Prophet said, Zikrullahi shifa'ul qulub. That the remembrance of Allah is the cure for the heart. Why is it cure for the heart? Because in this heart is the iman. When you remember Allah, then if there is a loss of iman, this disease of loss of iman is cured. And when you don't remember Allah, then this disease, you know, emerges in the heart. So remembrance of Allah is one way of increasing the iman in your heart. Sometimes this remembrance is so much and penetrates the heart in such a way that not only a person is full of iman, he becomes full of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of the remembrance of Allah. The one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, he is more in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not only that his iman increases, but even the iman plus the love of Allah also increases in the heart of that person. It is said that the one you love, you remember the most. So if you love somebody, you are going to remember that person. In the same way, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are going to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rule about love is that the one you love, you are very focused on the one that you love. All of you must have seen a woman with a newborn child, right? In our families, there's always women and there's a newborn child. If you see that woman or that lady is always involved in that child, always thinking about the child, always managing that child, right? All the thing in his life, whatever it means to her, is that child, right? Although she was married to this husband. But now when the child is born, all his focus, her focus is completely towards this child. Why? Because she has developed this love. So when the focus is at one thing, then the focus cannot be on other things. So when the focus is on the remembrance of Allah, then it increases the love of Allah, it increases the iman. And all these other things that decrease the iman, they go on the back. So there was a young man, he came to a sheikh, and he said to the sheikh, when I go in the markets, I cannot control my eyes, and my iman goes away. So the sheikh said that you should do the remembrance. So he said, Sheikh, I am a very logical man. How can it happen that the remembrance of Allah is going to stop me from looking here and there, and it is going to increase my iman? The sheikh said that the rule about love is that when you're focused on one thing, all other things disappear. So if you focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your eyes are not going to wander. So he said, Sheikh, okay, how do I do this? He said, okay, go to the market and take a bowl of milk and enter from one side of the market and come out from the other side. And you have to make sure that not even a single drop of milk drops on the ground. So he said, it's not a big job, I'll do it. So he went from one side with a bowl of milk. And the sheikh said that if a single drop falls down, then this man is going to walk with you, he's going to give you a tight slap on your face. So now this man was walking and he had this cup filled with milk. And he was walking from one side and he went inside and he was very careful. And he was handling this milk with a lot of care so that not a single drop falls down. And finally, he came to this other side of the market and he came out and he was like, Alhamdulillah, not a single drop of milk dropped. So then he went straight to the chef. The chef, you told me that not a single drop should fall down. Not a single drop fell from this cup of milk. So he said, very good job. What about looking at women in the market? He said, oh, I completely forgot about that. So the sheikh says, look, You were focused on one thing, and that is why this focus has helped you not focus on other things. So when somebody remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this love of Allah and this iman penetrates them. So the way of increasing the iman, one of the ways is to control the eyes. The second way is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala profusely. And the third thing is to choose for your brother that which you choose for yourself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that you will not be able to bring iman until you choose for your brother that which you choose for yourself. What does it mean, choosing for the brother that which you choose for yourself? What does that mean? If I go buy a pair of shoes, now I have to buy a pair of shoes for all my brothers, right? And if I am very, very social, all these people are my brothers, right? So I have to buy many, many pairs of shoes. So choose for yourself that which you choose for your brothers that which you choose for yourself. What does that mean? It's very expensive actually, choosing for everyone, right? And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِخْوَةٌ. All mu'mineen are brothers. Now if you choose for yourself a pair of shoes, you have to find about 1 billion pair of shoes again, right? All Muslims are brothers, right? And women are more interested in pairs of shoes, so you have to buy a pair of shoes for all women as well, right? So that's going to be 1 billion pair of shoes. No, that's not what that means. What it means is choosing for your brother what you choose for yourself is that when you think about yourself, you also think about your brothers, right? When you see that all your brothers are in misery, you help them. This is what it means, that you choose for your brother that what you choose for yourself. If you're all together in one place, then you give precedence to your brothers. For example, if you're all traveling in one car, then you say that, okay, this one seat is a nicer seat. This seat should go to my brother as opposed to me, because I like having this seat, but I am going to give this seat to my brother. It does not mean that whatever you have, all your brothers should also have all these things. Then it is going to be very difficult. In your mind, you should have a soft corner for all other Muslims. You should have a thought that, okay, everybody should be doing well. So this is what Islam teaches you, that you don't only live for yourself, you live for other people. You are a person who's very, very charitable. That is why in the hadith it comes that you should give charity, you should give sadaqah, because sadaqah attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sadaqah helps you stay away from bad death. What is bad death? Bad death is a death devoid of iman. So when somebody gives sadaqah, it helps him attain iman at the time of death. So choosing for your brother what you choose for yourself, you should have a feeling for your brother as well. If you feel that, okay, fine, I am doing well and one of my brothers is not doing well, then I should help him to do well as well. Because this is what it means, choosing for your brother what you choose for yourself. And here is the example of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. How much this thing was a part of their heart, a part of their being, that they always used to choose for their brother that what they wanted to choose for themselves. So in the battlefield, there was a Sahabi, and he had lots of cuts and lots of wounds on his body, and he was about to die. One of the Sahaba, he saw him, and he ran to him, and he said, "You're going to die, and you're in a very bad state, and if I could help you with something, here, this is a glass of water. At least, put some water in your mouth." And he said that, "No, I don't want water. If you see over there, there's another brother of mine. He's also in the same state. Why don't you go and give water to him? I prefer that he takes water." Now, at the time of death, in these wounds, even then, he's saying, "No, this water is, he's more deserving of this water." This is what it means to choose for your brother what you choose for yourself. Now this man, this Sahabi, he ran to this other Sahabi. his other companion, and he said to him, have some water, you know, you have lots of wounds. And he said, no, there's another brother of mine who's there and he's also in the same state and he has a lot of wounds as well. Why don't you go to him? And he ran and he went to this third man, but as when he came to this third person, that third person was dying. So he died, so he came back to the second man. Let me give water to the second man who's alive. But when he came back to the second person, he was also dead. And when he came back to the first one, he was also dead. So even in the state when they were about to die, they were giving preference to their own brothers as opposed to themselves. And this is the biggest thing. This increases the iman many, many folds. What a lot of ibadat and a lot of reading of the Quran and a lot of tasbihat can't do, this can do in a much better way. So a mu'min is a one who feels for his brothers, who is very, very, very charitable. So there was a person in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and there was a drought in the time of Musa alayhi salam. So now this man, he said that my nation, people of my nation, my qawm, they are in a very bad state. There's nothing to eat, there's nothing to drink, there are no rains. So when he came out of his house, he saw a small mountain. And he thought to himself, he was feeling so bad for his community, that he said that if this mountain was all gold and I was the owner of this mountain, I would have sold this whole mountain and I would have given this money to all my brothers and sisters in my community. So this was his jazba, this was his feeling. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the reward of doing sadqah of a mountain full of gold because of this intention that he had. So this desire that my brother gets what I get, or my brother gets better than what I get, is the cornerstone of iman. So mu'min is always charitable. He's always giving. And he is happy in giving as he is happy in receiving. And this is what the moment is. But now times have changed, right? We're happy when we're receiving. When we have to give, we're unhappy, right? And if we're not given what we're supposed to receive, then we're very, very unhappy. But this is a way of increasing the iman. So in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and in the time of the Prophet, there was a well of water which belonged to a Jewish person, which belonged to a Jew. And that Jew used to sell water. And because there was a lack of water in Medina Munawwara, all Muslims had to buy water from this one man. And non-Muslims also used to go buy water from this one man. And Uthman r.a. felt that all Muslims are in so much trouble, they have to pay so much just for water. So he said that I should do something. So he said that, okay, I am going to buy this well off of this Jewish person. And he went to this Jewish man and he said to him that, you know, I want to buy this. He said, no, I don't want to sell this. This is a running business for me and I earn a lot from this. So he said, you please sell it to me. He said, no, I don't have any intention. So Uthman r.a. said, okay, I'll pay you twice of what the regular price is. Of all the other wells, I'll pay you twice. He said, no. So Uthman r.a. was so adamant that, you know, I have to help my brothers and sisters. They should get water for free. Why should not they get water for free? So he finally said, okay, I will pay you double and you can still have joint ownership with me. One day I will use it and the next day you can use it, right? So you can keep your business as well, but at the same time I will be able to use this well as well. So then this Jewish man said, okay, fine, this is acceptable. That I will not lose my business, I will not lose this well, the ownership of this well. And at the same time, he will pay me twice. So to use half of the well, Uthman r.a. was paying him twice. So the deal was made. And Uthman r.a. said, that okay, he will use it for one day and I will use it for one day. This is, we'll switch turns. So Uthman r.a. said that okay, from today onwards, all Muslims can use my well and they can, you know, use water free. So all of them can do this. Then Usman Razi said, okay, why not Muslims, why not everybody else? He said, all Muslims and non-Muslims, all of them can use this well free of charge. Now what happened is, everybody would go to the well on the day when it was free, and the next day when the Jewish person was supposed to charge, that day was a day when nobody would show up. So his business went down, you know, very much. Now he came to Usman, you know, this is not working for me. Because on the day it is free, everybody comes to the well, and when it is not free, nobody comes. So Usman said, okay, you sell me this other part as well. I will pay you the same amount. So Usman actually paid him the same amount, and he told all Muslims that it is free for all of you and all non-Muslims every day of the week, because I feel that all Muslims should use it free of cost, they should get water from the wells. This is what you say, and choosing for your brother what you choose for yourself. So Muslim, by definition, is a charitable man. The Prophet ﷺ said that if you give in the path of Allah, if you give charity, if you give somebody as a sadaqah, if you give somebody as hadiyah, your wealth is not going to decrease. In fact, it is going to increase, and it is going to increase many, many folds. And when somebody does this, then the iman increases. Just imagine, if you give in the path of Allah, and you give many, many, many thousands and thousands of rupees, and then somehow or the other Allah Ta'ala returns you hundreds of thousands of rupees, then the iman increases. So my shaykh tells me that one day I was sitting, and it was early on in my life when I didn't have much money, and I had some savings. I left my job, and I had some savings, and the savings started going down till I was left with the last 1,000 rupees. And after Fajr prayers, I was sitting in the masjid, and I was thinking to myself that today my wife, when I go home, she's going to ask me for money to buy, you know, groceries for the house. And this man came crying, sitting next to me, and said to me that I am in a very deep state of trouble. So he said, I asked him what happened. He said, my daughter is about to get married and I don't have enough money. So the Shaykh said that this is my last 1,000 rupees. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to give him 500, and I'll keep 500 for myself for today's grocery. Then we'll see what's going to happen for tomorrow. But at least I should have some money for today's grocery. So when he put his hand in his pocket and he took out the 1,000 rupees, that 1,000 rupees was one note of 1,000. It was not two different 500 rupee notes. So now he said, now I have to get this broken into 2 500s. So he said, it doesn't look nice that I go outside and I get 2 500s and I give 1 to 1. So he said, I gave him all of that 1,000. I said, okay, inshallah, Allah is going to help me out. And he said that I gave this to him and this man left. And while I was sitting there, I had not gone out of the masjid yet, somebody else came. And he said to me that I have a request that I need to make to you, and you cannot say no, promise to me. So the Shaykh said, he's a very close friend of mine. He said, okay, I promise. And this man put his hand in his pocket, and he took out 10,000 rupees, and he said, you have to accept this as a gift from me. Now I had promised him that I have to accept this gift. And I thought to myself that I gave 1,000 in the path of Allah. Within a few minutes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned 10,000 back to me. So this increases the iman. So when you choose for yourself, when you choose for your brother that which you choose for yourself, Allah Ta'ala increases the iman. So iman increases by controlling the eyes. Iman increases with the remembrance of Allah. Iman increases when you choose for your brother that which you choose for yourself. And the fourth thing, iman increases with what, Arsalan? Taking good care of the guests, right? And when people come to our houses as guests, we become very upset. Not upset, we're very baffled. So this happens, and this is usual, and this is normal. But the Prophet ﷺ has said that the one who believes in Allah, the one who believes in Allah, and who believes in the Akhirah, he should take very good care of his guests. So whether the guests have been invited, or whether the guests have not been invited, right? You should not become very depressed and tense and anxious at the time when guests arrive. When guests arrive, you should smile to them. When the guest arrives, he brings his own risk at your house, and when he comes, he brings baraka into the house. The more guests that you have at your house, the more baraka it is. This is how it is, this is how it works. If you want to check this, look at those people in whose houses many, many guests come very frequently. You will see that there is baraka in the house. So the more guests that come to the house, the more baraka there is. So men sometimes, they invite their friends over, and the women of the house, they get pretty upset, you know. So for the time being, they serve the guests and whatever, and when the night comes, you know, then that's the time to fight, actually. So there was a similar woman, and this story is, this incident or this anecdote is written in many different ways. So there was this man who was very fond of inviting guests. And the wife used to say that, you know, you invite guests at the 11th hour and I have nothing in my house to feed, and why do you do all of this? But he said that, you know, this is a very good habit and it is a sunnah of the Prophet, and I do this. So one day he had invited a guest and the wife was not in a very good mood. And when the guest came, the guest sat down in the outside room and he went inside to tell the wife that, look who's here, there's a guest in our house. And the wife said, Mr. Guest, now either this guest stays in the house or I stay in this house. You have to make a choice. Now he was like, okay, what do? I have to feed this man. And the wife is not cooperating at this point. So he was, you know, he was thinking to himself, what should I do? And he was, you know, he was in a state of tension. And finally, he went back into the kitchen and he saw that the wife was sitting there and she had tears in her eyes. And he said, what had happened to this lion? Why is this lion crying? And she said, he said, what happened? Why are you crying? And this is what she says. Then I said to myself that after all, he's a guest. And the guest should be treated nicely. Although I've told my husband that I'm not going to take care of this guest, but I'm going to go in the kitchen and I'm going to actually prepare food for this guest. So she said that while I went inside, I saw that there was an old man. And this old man was taking this bread, this flour out of my packet of flour, and was taking it and was going somewhere. And he was a very different kind of man. I could feel that he was not real. So I asked this man, who are you? And he said, I am the angel of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put the risk, the sustenance of this guest in your house. But now that you're not ready to give this sustenance to this man, I am taking this food to the house next door. The woman next door is very eager to feed this guest and get the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I am going to this next door, and this next door woman is going to feed this man. So then I started crying that this barakah was coming my way, and because of my stupidity, that I don't want to take good care of the guest, this barakah is going to the house next door. So the taking good care of guest also increases the iman in the heart. So these are four things. There are many, many other things the Prophet has said, which increases the iman. And inshallah, when the time comes, we will discuss all of these things today. We will also discuss these things. But today we will stop here, and I will do the translation one more time. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله. And they are waiting for nothing except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. في ظلل in clouds من الغمام in canopies of cloud والملائكة and the angels also come. وقضي الأمر and the matter is closed. وإلى الله ترجع الأمور and to Allah shall all matters be returned. So we'll stop here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on what we say, and may Allah ta'ala increase our iman and safeguard us from the whisperings of the shaitan.